I'm cooking a pizza in my pants. Everyone's invited.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Welcome to NFL Week 15. Oh, it's a big one, perhaps the biggest yet in 2017. Here to help us break it down today, the two stars from Game Theory and Money, a.k.a. Free Money, the podcast.
With one E.
Huh?
With one E.
Right.
Yep.
All right, let's not set a tone of interruption.
Oh, we love interrupting.
We have a lot of important business to get to and not nearly enough time to cover it all. Yes, Free Money, a.k.a. Game Theory and Money, providing some numbers and all that kind of jazz. See, Dameshek just uses his gut and his heart, and they serve him well in forecasting pro football for you. Have it your way, though. Go ahead, download it, nfl.com/podcasts, or go to iTunes. So while you're there, why don't you go ahead and just subscribe and then unsubscribe and then resubscribe and then unsubscribe and then resubscribe. Hey, guess what? If Big Cat and PFT can play that game, Dameshek can play it too. I encourage you, nay, demand that you do so. All right, let's jump into
it. Are you saying that their podcast popularity is built on a foundation of lies?
Not at all.
Whoa. That's what I take from that.
Whoa.
Don't listen.
Dan, I'm
not
calling you out, Dan.
I'm not taking a shot.
Hey, Dan, you can text me later. I'll get him later.
I am not taking any shots punching up is what they call that. I'm not punching up at all. I have only the greatest regard.
I will acknowledge, just quickly, not that we're all going to have a game of one-upsmanship or one-upswomanship over who likes Big Cat the most, but his one of his more recent tweets did get me to chuckle out loud when it was Jeremy Curley, who was busted for performance enhancing drugs and says he doesn't know how it got into his system, perhaps a ghost put it there. And in the retweet, all Big Cat wrote was, "I believe him." it was a brilliant play on a statement.
I completely missed that entire story. I, of course, was off in Pittsburgh, PA.
The hometown.
Sunday night.
Where's
football?
My terrible towel?
You don't get a terrible
Why not?
Towel. Why would you get a terrible towel, Cindy Freeland?
I'm a fan of you, and you're like the biggest homer ever, so I figure ipso facto I get a towel.
Sort of patronizing at the same time as shot. I mean, it really was a collection.
There was nothing good in any of that statement.
She said she likes you.
I do like you.
Why?
She said, "I'm a fan of you," so that's good, right? She set you up, and you're like,
"Let me just say something."
And then she says, "I
want to clarify this because I get a lot of this on social media."
What do you get?
That I'm a homer.
Well,
you are.
If I am a homer to me, maybe I am misinterpreting what the meaning of that word.
I see what you're saying.
But a homer to me is somebody who can't see straight because he is so biased in favor of his rooting interest. If that were the case, then why am I? Then why are we right on track?
Here it comes.
For 13-3.
Here it comes.
I told you I have that down payment on a parade, so I better not lose my money.
Fine, but I'm not a homer. If I were a homer, then I would not be. Then I wouldn't have picked them to go 8-8 in back-to-back seasons. Yes, as a reminder, we are on the cusp of a sixth straight season of me in August correctly predicting what the Pittsburgh Steelers' final record would be. If I were a homer, I would say 15-1 every year, wouldn't I?
No, 13's a lot.
Okay, well, listen, either way, I'm on track to get it.
I do think you tend to be a bit of a homer. You're a bit of a homer when it comes to individual performance, accomplishments, place in history. I think you tend to give the Steelers a little bit of a bump. I don't know if that's necessarily a homer tag or somebody who's simply sticking up for the guys that he has cheered for so many years and wants to see.
Are you disagreeing then with my – all right, first topic then. Let's jump to it.
First topic. Go.
We're going to pick the big games. Money's got a big one. Oh, by the way, we didn't even say hello. Let's very quickly say hello to them. One half of the finest radio show in all the land, AM 570 here in Los Angeles, or find it on iHeartRadio. Also, Fantasy Live host. He is the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers, playing a big one this weekend. Here he is, everybody. It's Matt Money Smith.
Good.
That's it. Next, the other half of Game Theory and Money. You see her on Thursday Night Football. You see her on
last Thursday Night Football tonight.
well, at the time of this recording, and if you're listening to it after Thursday Night Football, see you next season, everybody. But also, you'll see her on game day morning. Oh, programming note, you also see Dave Damashek on game day morning this week.
Sunday or Saturday? We got two,
Saturday.
Bro.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
Sunday, I believe. Yeah, I'm virtually positive. Yeah, they wouldn't play it on Saturday when the Steelers play on Sunday.
Got
yes,
it,
I do
it.
a little something called the Steelers fans lament, you know.
Got it.
20th century, as you mentioned. The black and gold sat atop pro football's mountain without dispute. Now there's this other team.
I forgot that the Steelers hadn't been to the Super Bowl since 2010.
21st century.
What's that?
2010. That's a long time ago, right?
What is?
Well, it's the last time the Steelers have been to the Super Bowl. I just feel
like
they're always
there. Ben, too? Yeah.
It's like, that's just crazy to me because I felt like it feels like it's sooner. Maybe just because I'm around you so much.
Listen, well, that's
you would think
the point.
You would
of,
think by
the
amount of
the
celebration athlete. They get, they would have been to the Super Bowl sooner than
right.
2010.
Okay. So now let's talk about. Oh, so okay. Let's say hello yeah. to her. There it is, Cindy Freeland. That's it. That's all you get for your snark and your tepid praise.
I wanted to celebrate your trip to Pittsburgh. I was looking forward to talking about spots you ate, the games you went to. I mean, it seemed like it was a heck of a time back.
Well, you can imagine I've been to some gems in Three River Stadium yeah. and Heinz Field to be there for Thursday Night Football in an oddball game.
Crazy
I've always
game.
Said, well, I said up until 2012, I don't know if you've ever looked this up. Cindy, you might want to check the numbers on this being our numbers wonk here.
Wonk.
But I'm pretty sure up until 2012, every single time the Ravens and Steelers played, the final score was 13-10. It was just a matter of which side had the 13. Ever since then, every time those two teams have played, it's been 20-17. Same thing. Who knows who wins those games? This one, 39-38. There were a number of times where I thought, this game's over in favor of the Steelers. And then there were a couple of times where I thought, well, this game's over in favor of the Ravens. And lo and behold, the Steelers do
crazy.
Their thing again. And as
crazy game.
It really was a weirdo game. The Steelers seem to be involved in one of those weirdo games every year like that. The Seahawks.
And this is their second one. I mean, they've had two of these just kind of weirdo, you think they're going to lose, you know, and they end up doing. I mean, that's what happens when you have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Big Ben. You can go down by 14 points and have 6 minutes left in a game and win by two touchdowns. It's just that's what happens.
Well, to that point, by the way, so coming up here, we're going to talk about the Chargers and Chiefs, a big one for money's side there. The Lions, not significant necessarily against the Bears, except for the fact that if they win out, they're right in
they're
the mix
still alive.
There. And the Green Bay Packers now are suddenly looming. I have a fantasy question for you on that. I do want to pat myself on the back here because everybody loves hearing about it, everybody else's fantasy teams. I was down 18.15 in my big ticket fantasy league, the one with Cousin Sal and Don Draper and Simmons and those guys. Sal knocked off Simmons after much trash talking from Sports Guy all season long about Damashek's fantasy team. The one that still made the playoffs, even though David Johnson was hurt in the first game of the season. The one in which Deshaun Watson was carrying the team till he went down.
Too much.
I'm just letting you know something.
Yes,
18.5 going into Sunday Night Football. Chris Boswell gave me 19. Damashek moves on to the next round.
What is that, 5 points for the kicker for the game winner? Is that what you get? So were you constantly looking? Were you in the stadium looking at your phone to see if, in fact, your fantasy team was going to win?
I was aware when Chris Boswell lined up that there was more on the line than just the AFC
right?
North crown. There was also a division.
I want you to be completely honest.
I will be.
What were you more excited about? That the Steelers won? That you're 13-3. Like what? Here, let's go through. Let's get inside this. Let's do Bean Jan Malkovich. Bean Dave Damashek. I am now camped out inside your brain, looking through your eyes. It's Thursday night, and your brain is processing 13-3, still alive. Two. My fantasy team just won 3. I was just part of one of the most exciting Thursday
night football games ever. Can I tell
you something? Like, how did that work?
Can I tell you something?
Please.
My old man is obsessed by this 13-3 thing. I didn't realize it until aww. I just got to be with him and old Mo and
that's pretty
my
great.
Sister Amy and the whole family. We got to go to a Penguins game, by the way, on Monday night. It was great.
Who'd they play?
The Avs. Thanks to the Penguins, too, by the way, rolling out the red carpet, as did the Steelers for us, which was obviously much appreciated. But, yeah, we got to do all that, but the old man is fixated on this. Oh, well, I'm worried about the third. I don't care. And, by the way, I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I would like
you
to
You want
13.
To see it come through.
I definitely want it to be true.
Understandably.
I definitely would like it to be true. However, if they go 14-2 now, you will not. I will not have pangs of regret that I didn't go 14-2. I think my point will be made there. I was happy that Chris Boswell made that field goal and I got
For
to
you.
Move on.
I think that was number one, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It's crazy. It's crazy that that's how it works, but it does.
Yeah. I did feel satisfied by
fantasy
that.
Team more important than Steelers.
I don't like the scorn that Spaghetti's given us from behind the glass there.
Scorn. Oh, and his Pearl Jam T-shirt.
What it reminds me of is the bad fan segment we did, and it's the guys at the game checking his fantasy team score the entire time.
That's a bad fan, Spaghetti.
I think it borderlines. Yeah, if you care more about your fake team than the team you're rooting for,
I did. But that's not the case. I did care. Sure, I liked moving.
Just saying, borderline.
It was a miraculous come-from-behind victory. I needed 19 from a kicker, and he got it for me.
Don't judge the Yankee fans by the people and the lazy boys behind home plate. The real people sit in the upper deck in the right field. We don't even bring our phones in.
I want to talk about that. I was going to talk about Antonio Brown, but before we get to that real quick then, Spaghetti, since we're on the subject there, how do you feel as New York's chief representative? I think you're the most public New York sports fan out there in the 21st century right now. What do you make of Yankees legend Derek Jeter?
I knew the captain would take care of us.
Mario Lemieux, do I celebrate 66 a little bit too much for Matt Money Smith's taste?
Jeez.
Well, he's the best player in the history of the sport. But either way, he also did was he bought the team. He saved it from moving to Kansas City. Spaghetti's favorite player of all time, on the other hand, buys a different team altogether and then trades away.
Everybody.
What do you make of all that, Spaghetti?
I think Jeets was put in a bad spot. Two was put in a bad spot because, first of all, why the Marlins signed Giancarlo Stanton to that deal anyway and give him a no-trade clause?
First of all, can we call him Mike Stanton? Because that was his name forever. It's so hard for me to call him.
He wants to go by Giancarlo. Go by Giancarlo. Mike. I mean, he was Mike here in the Valley when he was playing in high school at Notre Dame. That's fine. But
you're going to call Kareem Lou? Is that what you want to do? Is that where you're going next?
I mean, hey, remember.
Marvelous Marvin changed his name legally. You got to call Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Maurice Drew was Maurice Drew at UCLA. I'm happy to call
Maurice
Jones-Drew.
Yeah, but that's like a last name. There's like an honor thing there. Like, I think like Giancarlo Stanton just wanted to be more like Giancarlo, you know, like more like exotic.
You know
that's
what?
Like
bring
Geraldo,
it up to him.
Geraldo Rivera. I don't know that he legally
Geraldo
changed
Rivera.
His name from Jerry Rivers.
The most there's a couple that are super egregious that I will say upset me. One, Tony Villar, who became Antonio Villaraigosa when he was running for mayor in Los Angeles. Tony Villar to Antonio Villaraigosa. And when he was playing basketball at UCLA, his name was Dan Gadzurek. Dan Gadzurek. Here he is, Dan Gadzurek. And all of a sudden he gets drafted by the Bucks, and he's Dan Gadzurek. It's like, wait a minute, what happened? Wait, it's hard. We're calling your game. I'm not used to this.
As somebody who loves the sound of names and certain words and everything, Muhammad Ali, and Ali is an Ali, Bumbaye, and all that is great. But Cassius Clay, it's a shame to leave that one behind. And by the way, Lou Alcindor is
one of the all-time great
too.
Names for Kareem. I'm with you 100%. I mean, Lou Alcindor and Cassius Clay are great sport
legend
names.
Now, Lloyd Free changing to World B. Now, that's an upgrade. You know, so I'm not going to – I don't bat an eye at that.
What about the different city names?
If I could have any name on the face of the earth, it might be Cassius Clay. What's that, Cindy?
What about the Diddy names for you? He's changed his name.
Whatever.
Right?
I mean, that's silliness. See, that's self-parody.
Back to Jeets.
I won't indulge that.
It's not his fault that they were leveraged with $400 million in debt. He was just doing what he had to do to rescue the franchise.
Well, you can see they're doing a fire sale because they got rid of Ozuna. Like they want to keep Yelich, but like I mean, it's he was put in a tough spot, and a lot of the players didn't like the former ownership.
How is this sustainable? This is a recurring story now with the same franchise. Isn't there some penalty at some point for just doing this? You're the Marlins.
You're the master of projecting the Steelers record, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you this. This is what's going to happen in Miami. You're going to get like a nice fat head of Derek Jeter, right? And it's going to be covered up by one of those finely tailored suits. And piece by piece, as those Marlins win games when nobody thought they had a chance, they're going to pull off a little piece of that suit. And before you know it, it's going to be jeans and a pair of like Calvin Klein bikini shorts there, and they're going to be headed to the playoffs.
I love it.
And you know what? They're going to beat the stinking Yankees, too, in the World Series. That's what's going to happen.
Take your gift bag and get out of here. Who needs you, Mike Stanton? Scram. All right, wait. Yeah, something like that.
Something
right?
like that.
Anyway, scram's a great word.
Spaghetti.
I'm happy with the team. Obviously.
Obviously.
I did like the underdog, like all the younger kids that we kind of brought up. But getting a guy that wants to be a Yankee also feels good. Now the rumors they're in the mix for Manny Machado, which is that would be insane. So
who's you should be embarrassed? What kind of thing is this? I say this all the time.
Who wants to be a Yankee? Getting a guy that wants to. Who wants to be a Yankee?
Everybody?
Stanton.
People who
no,
like,
he wanted to be a Dodger. The Dodgers just wouldn't take his $295 million deal. He was desperate to be
I love the rationalization. Who wouldn't want to be a Yank?
That's like,
what
no.
kind of way? You're not American? You don't want the pinstripes on you?
He wanted to be a Dodger. He was desperate to be a Dodger,
agreed,
and they would not make the deal.
That's the idea. Everybody wants to be the Yankee. You know why everybody wants to be on the Yankees is because they pay a lot of money. That's why they want to be on
yes.
the Yankees.
But they also had trades in place for the Giants and for the Cardinals, and he declined those. He gave a short list of four teams only. Yes, the Dodgers were
number one. Yes, because the Yankees are now as low. I don't understand. Where's the competitive? I go back and forth on this. On one hand, if you're Kevin Durant, so I'm going to be back and forth here.
Okay.
On one hand, Kevin Durant, people bellyache about him going to Golden State. How dare he? Doesn't he have any competitive spirit? Why would he want to go to that team? Because he doesn't want to win a championship, in my book. He wants to be on the greatest NBA team of all time, and now he's lined up to be on just that. To be on the Yankees is just to make as much money as possible and to be on a stacked lineup.
We don't get it because if he went to the Dodgers or the Astros or the Cubs, the other teams that were on his short list, the same thing could have been said. But people like to bash the Yankees extra, I feel like. So
they sure do.
Wow. That's true.
When you're the best, people going to give you the shots. It comes with the territory.
Next, Antonio Brown, and we can mix this in with Carson Wentz. I think it was just a year ago that we saw a similar dynamic here. I think you could make a case that Derek Carr was at least among the leaders in the MVP race when he broke his leg. Now Carson Wentz hurts his knee, and I think that probably derails his MVP candidacy, more importantly to Eagles fans. I think that this derails any realistic shot they have of winning the Super Bowl. True or false, Cindy?
True.
Do they have a chance?
Yeah.
Of,
no.
Do they have a chance based on their schedule and the other foes vying for one of those top two seeds? Do they have a chance to? Because what makes it more plausible is if they can somehow hold on to either the one or maybe even the two seed, skip that wild card round game, have two games, preferably both at home. But is there's no math that you can see that allows them to survive this thing?
It's not about survive. Like there's a difference between like thrive and survive. Like
right.
when you talk about playoffs, that's one getting to the like obviously they're already going to the playoffs, but like making a playoff run, like you're right, you have a better chance of winning two games than you do three games in a playoff scenario just because everybody has a better chance of doing that. But it's really for me it's going to come down to when you have these good defenses and these actual like you're matched up against some really tough situations. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And for me, I don't think it's going to be it's not going to be a big drop off in terms of production, but it's also not going to get you over that. Like it's going to be a nice solid median. It's just not going to have that ceiling that you're going to need in the playoffs in order to overcome some like big deficits.
Money.
I think they have a better chance because there's, you know, are we willing to say what team's going to knock them out? Well, they can't get past that.
That's what I was just about to bring up. All of a sudden, the Vikings, as predicted, seem a little more mortal lately.
You know, that
or after I'm using that based on one.
So what team would you say?
Hey,
I guess if you want to, you know, if you want to do the exercise, you'd have to say, okay, what team can they not get past? Can they not get past the Vikings? Can they not get past the Saints, the Rams, the Panthers? You know what?
It's the Saints for me that are the thorn.
That's it. You know what? I've stayed true to this, and now I will back off. The Falcons are are going to end up being relevant in this thing. I'll back off of that to this degree. Whoever wins that Saints-Falcons game in New Orleans coming up is going to be the favorite to get to the Twin Cities.
Okay, so when you look at Philadelphia, right, what have they been doing prior to Foles? RPOs, right? They've done it more than anyone else. And I love when Tony Romo talks about it. That you got the run, you got the pass option. I love when he explains to us RPOs. It's my favorite thing. And that's like a way to make Carson Wentz work. And you saw it had a diversity of different receivers, a diversity of different running backs. Like, they created a system. And by the way, Carson Wentz just amazing in that system. I'm not saying that you can just sub in a different person. But if you look at where Nick Foles has had success before, RPO. So it's not like you're going this huge drop. You're not going to completely different styles. You're not going to completely different, like, you know, now you don't have any receivers. You don't have any running backs. Like, you still have, like, a lot of the pieces. And you have Zach Ertz coming back. That's a wonderful piece to help you out. So it's not going to be this huge drop-off. But when you look at the type of defense that could really be a thorn in the side of that, it's like the Saints. So they have multiple, you know, you get pressure on multiple parts of the defensive front. And then, by the way, you've got two shutdown corners in the back. Like, that's the type of sort of funnel defense that could really be a problem when you have someone that's dependent on RPOs.
I just look at, you know, so I'm looking at the seeding, right? The Eagles are 11-2. They've got the Giants, the Raiders, two teams with terrible defenses that Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, you would assume with this much talent, ought to be able to navigate.
I think this one, against the Giants is telling. I know everybody, they've become a punchline, but I would not be surprised to see.
Really? See, I just look at that offensive line of the Giants and the defensive front.
That should be crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why I will give it to the Eagles. But I do think
I think the Cowboys will be the one where we see. Oakland, I don't care.
But even then, if they win two of the three, they'll, you know, I would assume, you know, on paper, most people would say, yeah, they should beat the Giants and at New York and then the Raiders at home. Well, now they have the best record in the NFC. Now the Saints have to take that act out of the Superdome to Philadelphia in the divisional round.
That's what I'm getting at.
So
you're not talking about going up to the Twin Cities and being under climate-controlled conditions. If Philly has the number one seed, that's the great equalizer, especially with, as you mentioned, that nasty front seven, the way they can heat you up. Drew Brees doesn't want any of that. Not in
15-degree temperatures. Yeah,
he doesn't want any of that. The narrative is there because it's true about Drew Brees. He is not. He suffers significantly when he goes on the road out into the conditions and that may exist in Philadelphia.
He also suffers when he doesn't have Alvin Kamara and he doesn't. There's also like some of those things that are included in that too. But when you have healthy Kamara, healthy Ingram, both playing on the field together, that will also be an equalizer.
Yeah, then they can bang you around, right?
They can bang you around.
There isn't a single team. I'm looking at the current standings, right? The current playoff projection as of today when we record this podcast. Eagles, Vikings, Rams, Saints, Panthers, Falcons. Would not be surprised if any of those six teams made the Super
Bowl.
Ain't
that right?
Rams included. I will not be surprised if they're the team that makes it.
And it serves as another reminder that I've been issuing lately the last 3-4 weeks here. Just remember this. Just seed this one away. Now it's too late to apply it to 2017. But remember it comes September of 2018, what your old pal Dave told you. Football season, even though they only play 16 games, your team, in the regular season, it's long. Do not make any determinations about what's going to be, because 6 weeks ago, the narrative was, the NFC is so loaded, Titanic teams, who will survive this all-time playoff mix? AFC is a joke. Now, wouldn't you take Patriots, Steelers, and maybe even the Jags over just about anybody that emerges out of the NFC side? I think the scariest team, to Cindy's point, is kind of the Saints. However, I won't be surprised if the reigning NFC champs defeat those Saints and end up being the best of the mix as that defense turns it up as January draws close. That's a scary team.
Here's the thing. The Saints desperately, desperately need to get to that three hole. They've got to be able to jump the Rams, get into the three, get a home playoff game in the divisional round or in the wild card round, and then for the divisional round, go up to Minnesota to play under the roof and in those controlled conditions.
I hear you, but you're already making assumptions about what's going to be. The Saints could lose two more games
here
and
be out of
the end of it.
And be total. They got to play the Panthers and the Falcons still. You're right.
The Vikings can slide back, certainly. The Eagles could go 1-2 here in these last three. All these things are plausible results.
Oh, actually, no. The Saints,
Termination.
My mistake. The Saints get the Jets, the Falcons, and the Bucks.
Yeah, they're going to take care of Petty.
They're going to be all right there.
Oh, yep. Money, I learned the streaming defense tact in fantasy football from Money many moons ago. And if you're
our
looking
Susan
for one,
B. Anthony, first season of Fantasy Live, a half-hour show.
Go ahead.
That was our Friday special.
Go ahead and grab that Saints defense. They got Petty coming down to the dome.
I'll give you one other. Just because the Saints defense has been pretty productive most of the season, so if it's not available in your league, my secret story, my Susan B. Anthony this week, San Francisco 49ers.
Ooh, I like
the,
that.
The Titans have not been good. They're banged up. Mariota's a mess, and Reuben Foster is something.
I love Reuben Foster.
I think that could be your sneaky streamer. If you're in a deeper league and there's not a lot of defenses available and you don't like your matchup this
Fantasy
week.
Fantasy MVP of Week 14, Cindy Freeland, I texted her and said, I got a big decision here, must win here, obviously, playoff game. Do I go P. Ryan or do I go Theo Riddick? And I was leaning towards Riddick. She said, go Riddick. And so that solidified my
big
decision.
One.
If I hadn't done that, I'd be golfing. I'd be out on the golf course.
If you hadn't done that, that kicker would need to do more.
I'm
that
preparing.
Kicker would need to do more.
Preparing for who? Cousin Sal?
No, Cousin Sal
other bracket.
Plays Don Draper, and I am playing Hench and Dratch is my
can't have Don Draper win your league. What a travesty.
I don't want that.
Can't
no
have
one.
That. All no that one. Success.
Yes, no. You can.
That attractiveness. Whew. Last thing that man needs is a damn fantasy title.
That one.
Any of that.
Gotta kick him out of the league every year.
I don't agree. Kick him
every
out.
Year.
Greatest
don't
moment
every
him
single
out.
Year. I would no. throw him out.
Elliot the attorney kicked out Don Draper at the height of his, of
the
his powers. The funniest
the
kick out ever.
Terrible.
All right. Now, Carson Wentz, I don't mean to be glib, but I think we can kick him out of the MVP conversation here. And I just don't know how you get it done with 3 weeks still left in the season. Russell Wilson seems to be probably the front runner by a tick right now. But, of course, if they don't make the playoffs, I think that rules him out. That leads me to the campaign that I've been leading the last 2 weeks. And call
Phillip
me a
Rivers.
Homer all you
AB.
Want. It's
Phillip
Antonio
Rivers.
Brown.
Phillip Rivers.
Why would Antonio Brown? Not Phillip Rivers. That defense.
He's been the MVP the last 4 weeks.
Phillip Rivers has
His
been.
Numbers
Tom Brady.
Crazy the
they are week. Crazy the last 4 weeks. Antonio Brown, conversely, has been doing it since
I'll
week
say
one.
This, though. I will say this.
You really don't think that – I mean, it's a special
it's so
enough
hard.
Season. And I know you're not supposed
what
to –
What number
involve,
do you think he can get to?
It's
what
not
you,
a career achievement, but still, the five-year run that he's in is the best in NFL history.
I'm with you. We had this
and
discussion last week. It's him, and it is a huge gap
it's
to number
the
two.
Clutch of, it's not just the gaudy numbers. It's when he's doing it. I mean, it's crazy the numbers he's putting up and in the situations he's doing it.
You just said crazy.
The Bengals.
It's crazy. It was
well,
so high.
Listen, look at the Titans game, the catch he makes to win that game.
I don't
look
disagree.
At the Browns game to help them survive.
You just named two really great defenses right there.
Oh, stop it. You got to play
all right, so how about this?
So you're going to advocate for 17? I'm fine with – obviously, I want the Chargers to win that division.
Well, let's
– it's not that I don't think he's worthy of at least being considered for because he totally is.
Oh, he'll be top three.
It's just the fact that they don't give it to wide receiver. It's just not –
well, that's
not
an insane reason.
Sure.
That is not a reason.
So let's just
– well, it's never happened, so we shouldn't consider
let's play
no,
the let's play
said,
the hypothetical. This is what the season ends with, right? Let's say the Chargers went out and Phillip Rivers throws for – I think he's 300 yards from 4,000. So let's say he throws for 4,400, 30 TDs, and his – I think he's at 7 interceptions. Doesn't throw – they start 0-4. They finish 10-2. He wins the AFC West. There's Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
The Seahawks win this week against the Rams. They win out. They win the division. Russell Wilson accounts for 85% of their offense. His numbers we know are super gaudy.
In that case, it's Russell Wilson.
That's okay. So let's say they don't. Let's say they don't win out, and now Russell Wilson
is Phil Rivers statistically the number one quarterback in the game? You're
no.
going to give him the MVP over a guy who is blowing away everybody else?
Tom Brady now. We haven't mentioned him. This is who's going to end up with the highest passer rating.
That's why this.
So I don't know how you don't give it to Tom Brady.
Because
what I'm getting at.
I'm getting at this. I don't think Antonio Brown is your front runner as we sit here now. The winner of the Patriots Steelers game could also yield the MVP if Antonio Brown
goes
plays
202
plays
touches.
A leading role in right. defeating the Patriots and earning the Steelers the number one seed in the AFC. I don't know how you argue against that. Now, if Tom Brady does his usual bit and doesn't turn the ball over and whips the Steelers and humiliates them and walks out of Heinz Field again a victor, then yeah, he would be your MVP.
I forgive my ignorance. Who votes for it? How many people vote for the MVP?
I don't know the number of people who vote on it.
But they vote now. They
the
can
AP
start
writers.
Voting now, though.
The AP
they can
writers.
Start voting.
Yeah, but they don't have to turn in their vote till after game 16.
No, but I always ask, like, when they are.
Why and would you vote now?
I know. It makes no sense.
I did not say it made sense, but I did ask when things are typically voted on, and it's right now.
That's
it's like before Christmas.
Me. With Tom Brady Big Ben and Antonio Brown going at it this week, how you turning your MVP before?
Maybe
what I'm getting at is you said it about AB, about Antonio Brown in these last 5 years. I almost wonder, because when you look and you see Brady, Manning, you know, Big Ben, Phillip Rivers is right there statistically. I mean, in rating, in yards, in touchdowns, right. In consecutive games played, playing through the ACL tear in the conference championship against the, you know, all of those narratives are there. I almost wonder if he's close. If there is some sort of, you know, sentiment vote, some emotional vote there, if in fact he does complete this ridiculous run and puts up MVP caliber, 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 7
he goes into KC this weekend and wins that game, then obviously his ranking in the MVP chase is...
Because one of the interesting things for Rivers, too, is the Hall of Fame discussion is now in play for him, and there are only two players that have ever made the Hall of Fame as quarterbacks that did not make a Super Bowl, Warren Moon and Dan Fouts. That does not happen often. And whether or not he's ever going to get to one,
the measure.
A league MVP would certainly help his campaign.
Well, Dan Fouts and Warren Moon, great quarterbacks, winning, you know, leaders of winning teams largely through their respective careers. It's Phil Rivers. That's what you're describing. Phil Rivers, when he retires, is going to be in the top five of the key statistical categories. Spaghetti, you just tried to say something in my ear. What was it? You want me to get going?
It's 50. It's voted on by 50 AP writers, and they put the results. I know you guys are talking about that.
I had the number 50 in my head. I almost said that. Doesn't seem right, but okay. It's 50
writers. Folks.
Shame on anybody who casts their ballot now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might cast it right after this. The Patriots and Steelers game.
But what about the Seahawks? What if Russell Wilson wins out? And I know it's not your vote, but if someone told you that they vote right around now, that's weird to me.
I'd like to be the 51st vote, but I'm not. But I would like to be. And if I would, I would wait till the end of the season because I'm all about that fairness. But
well, then you'd have to leave us and get a job with the AP. Next thing you know, you're putting stuff up on a wire. You know, fresh off the AP wire, according to Cynthia Freeland.
I don't like wires.
All I'm saying is, if a guy finishes again, if Antonio Brown, he's on track to have 115 conservatively, have 115
very conservatively.
Catches. He's going to have 1,900 yards.
Crazy.
You know, I mean,
it's amazing.
But again, it is not just prolific numbers he's putting up. It's the moments at which he's delivering some of those receptions. All right, that's that. Let's get to it now. Oh, wait, before we do, I want to tell you about something.
What?
And I can say.
You used it?
This is absolutely. No. I legitimately said, I said to my sister Amy and to my nephews Ben and Zach in Heinz Field, freezing, an animated stadium to be sure, and I still, you know, Southern California, boy, now I turned to them and said, boy, I could really use some of the Action Heat gear right now from head to toe, sitting in that frigid. It's only going to get worse, everybody. This entire DDFP episode, by the way, sponsored by Action Heat. Action Woo-hoo. Heat, the world's best heated clothing powered by rechargeable batteries. Action
batteries.
Heat, the perfect solution to keep you warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. And I can tell you, in Pittsburgh, it was 15 degrees. I was out there walking the streets. And then as day turned to night, it only got colder sitting out there in Heinz Field. Wind whipping. Yes, I was whipping. Well, I was about to say I was whipping a terrible towel, but you know the no-jive policy. Damashek abides by the late, great Myron Cope's rule. You don't take the terrible towel out until the postseason arrives. Otherwise, you waste all its powers. Now it's gone corporate and everybody out there, Pittsburgh people waving their terrible towel in the preseason. You know, listen, I frown on it, but do what you're going to do. But anyway.
Maybe it's like a toupee. You know, there's guys that are in broadcasting that have just kind of your regular season toupee, and then they got the gamer, you know, when it's when it's the Final Four, you know. Maybe you do that. Maybe you have levels of terrible towels. You got your corporate terrible towel with the sponsor logo on it, but then – deep in the recesses of your closet, you have the real
Action Heat. Where are you on the heated toupee? Let's get going there. They got you covered everywhere else. Warmth and comfort for your whole body. Heated jackets, socks, gloves. hats, even undergarments. I still don't see here any toupees, but I think they'll get on that as soon as they finish listening here. It's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list, especially the ones who are intending to go out into the elements to watch their favorite pro football team chase the Lombardi Trophy. It's available in men's, women's styles, starting at just $39.99. I want you to check this out. I really wish I had had it on Sunday night in Heinz Field. I am anxious to try this out. ASA AMP, perhaps in front of the Twin Cities visit that we have coming up in February, we can get some of this.
And that's why I moved away from the Midwest.
Special deal in the meantime for our listeners. Save 15% off your entire order. Go to actionheat.com/Dave and check it all out. Action-heat.com/Dave, D-A-V-E, or use the coupon code Dave at checkout to save 15%. Stay warm this winter with Action Heat. And thanks for sponsoring the DDFP today, Action Heat. All right, let's get to it now. The Red Challenge Flag Picks. Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Another one.
Huh. Ow!
That's
let's
right.
go. We got a big... Oh, okay. Hey, so Spaghetti, we don't have Emma VP. She's out this week. She's out in Jersey right now.
Ooh.
At NFL Films.
It's been a busy, really busy week for MVP. Sunday, we went to the Rams Eagles game.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Awesome. Awesome.
You
experience.
Had a good time out there,
phenomenal
eh?
Phenomenal time. Some reason, all my friends that live in LA that went to school with me are all from like South Jersey, Philadelphia. So they're all Eagles fans, and I'm a Giants fan. So I was like, "Yeah, I'll go." But the stadium,
yeah, I'll go.
The stadium. I'd say there's more Eagles fans there, and then
I'll go for you.
And then at night, when the when like the sun was going down, you could see like we were like row 82, so like the mountains, and you could see downtown LA behind. It was awesome.
Ain't nothing
awesome.
Like that, right? I've said
so
before.
Cool.
It's a weird, you know, I don't know if I'm a defender of Los Angeles or an attacker of it, because when I go to Heinz Field.
Well, let's find out.
Well, when I go, I will say that there is a certain energy in Pittsburgh when the Steelers are relevant, as they are right now. There's nowhere you can walk. There's not a step you can take around in the city limits on the banks of the Three Rivers where someone isn't anxious to engage you on Steeler stuff. There are people always walking around in the black and gold stuff. You see a lot of 50s right now walking around honoring
sure.
Ryan Shazier, Shay Leave, and all that. And all the best to him, of course, as they sort of rally around this stuff. In L.A., it's sort of like New York in that I know New York's a great sports town, and so and L.A. is too. The problem is that there is a huge transient population here. So even if you are a diehard sports fan, you aren't necessarily engaged in the local sports teams. I'm obviously personify that, as do literally probably a million other people
Well, you're Charged.
I've been here too long.
I love it. I'm not, you know, I hope the Rams do well. I hope the Chargers do well, but my heart is hoping that the Steelers do well, and that's the distinction. But I do think
it's
that
especially
it's
especially in football, obviously, because the two
I
teams
think
have been
it stinks
for
when people it's
I mean the
lazy.
Dodgers and the Lakers are huge. They
what?
Are they are embedded in this.
So community. Is USC.
Yeah, as USC
I feel like
football.
Kings fans are like really crazy too.
I'll give you the Chick Hearn line. When he was asked by Jack Kent Cook, Chick, this place is packed, and these fans are more passionate than the Laker fans, yet we can't get any rating on TV. And Chick looked back at Jack Kent Cook and said, yeah, that's because every single Kings fan in the city is here right now. And that's what it is.
That's exactly right.
It
yeah, I've said the same thing about
that. They are great fans.
Yeah, they are diehards, but there
like
is
maybe,
no buzz even when they're making a Stanley Cup
know,
run
though,
about
like,
the Kings. Nobody's, did you watch the game last
right.
night?
What I don't you, know. I live in the South Bay, and I feel like maybe.
Well, they live in the South Bay.
Right,
all the Kings live
they all
there.
Live
so
there.
It's,
like,
it's
literally,
their
like,
hometown.
You go on a run, and you're like, Kings, Kings, Kings. Like, yeah. Everyone's wearing King stuff, so. I don't know.
It's because all the it's truly because all the players live there. So that town supports the Kings. Yeah.
I do think it's unfair, though. I mean, to Spaghetti's point, the first time I went to a USC game and exactly – I mean, it's basically like you described my experience, sitting on high, looking towards downtown, setting sun, start of the fourth quarter, the USC marching band starts playing that Roman kind of – and the torch comes on. You know, that you've seen it in the Olympics and everything else. That torch comes on. One of the great atmospheres yeah. going in college football, legitimately, and I've been to a number of spots there. And like you say, Dodgers and Lakers, and I do think anecdotally, I don't have any numbers to support this, but it's my sense at least, and Money, you would know better than I feel like as the Chargers are starting to heat up, so too is the fan base.
It
Fair?
Is. Most definitely. The you mentioned what it looked like at the Coliseum, Eddie, for the Eagles game. The StubHub Center was 70%, I would say, Eagles fans. I saw 7 Eagles jerseys for every Charger jersey. These last two, and by no means are the Redskins not a long-time big fan base franchise. There were Redskins fans there, but there were a lot of Charger fans at that game, and obviously at the Browns game, it was almost all Charger fans. So, yeah, they start winning. People hear about, and you know what? It's been enough games where StubHub Center stopped becoming a punchline and started becoming, that's the best game I've ever seen in football. I mean, I've never had an experience like that. It became more of an event, and people wanted to start checking it out. I think they have a good experience. Now they're sort of interested. No doubt. You got to win in Los Angeles. If you do not win, you have zero chance of
winning. I know you're close to it. I'm not trying to put you on the spot when you're tied into the organization. But really, I know that you can't unring this bell, but you know what they really should have done and still could do, you know, right now. They could do it in the offseason. They should call themselves the California Chargers or the Southern California Chargers or something cute like that instead of L.A. Embrace the roots.
So like
embrace
England.
San Diego. Right. That's it.
It is.
Because I think people are resentful of that idea. And if you said, listen, come on up into Carson pay us a visit at the stadium.
I can
get
only
go in there in Staples Center.
I can only speak to it from what the Angels went through when they made their name change and became a punchline as the Los Angeles Angels. And then they had to add the of Anaheim on the end of it. And when we were doing that, I talked to someone that was on their head of business ops. And he said that every single bit of research and all of their marketing studies that they do say that having the name Los Angeles in front of your franchise is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Really?
Yes, just because of where the ad agencies are and the corporate dollars that come in just by saying Los Angeles is worth that much more money, and that's why you have to do it. I said, that sounds a little ridiculous to me, so that's that's what it is.
I think there's great charm in
it. I don't disagree.
My favorite is the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
That's one of the best. People don't celebrate that nearly enough. Golden State, though, that's
weirder
San than New England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in Oakland. They're in Oakland.
Too bad they're leaving.
Let's get to it. The AFC West battle. Few saw it coming in August. Nobody saw it coming in September when they were 0-4.
September.
Well, wait a second. Not no one. Because one Dave Damashek. What am I? Is Cindy Freeland, you going to call me a Chargers homer?
Yep.
You are.
You are. You're a California Chargers.
Now, what I am is a self-validator. That's what I am. That's
13-3.
I didn't say any 13. I said nothing about 13-3. I told you that the Chargers would win the
division. You did not give up on them. You did not give up on them after a tough start.
And now here we are at the precipice.
This is it. One game.
Further glory for Damashek. But who cares about that? It's the Chargers. It's the Chiefs in all likelihood for the division crown. Cindy Freeland. Choose.
Chargers.
Dang, really?
Dang.
Money we know is going to take the Chargers. That's his way. He's a good Chargers employee after all. Cindy, I'm going to go right back to you since no one threw the challenge flag. Why do you feel like the Bolts? This is not a good spot to go into. Arrowhead always tough. Chiefs looking a little bit better. Alex Smith looking a lot better specifically over the last fortnight.
Yeah, but my bigger problem is not Alex Smith. It's more the defense for the Chiefs. If you look over the past four games, so we've gotten to the point of the season where we can put an extra emphasis on the past four games and really look at it. And it's very hard to find areas where you can't make the case for the Chargers. Their defense, top five scoring. Their offense, top five scoring. Phillip Rivers, the best, passer rating. Like, everything you look at over the past four games would suggest advantage Chargers in this one. And then you look at the thing that Alex Smith has been doing really well, and that's throw deep passes, those 20-plus air yard passes. He leads the league, 133 passer rating on those 21-yard attempts. But the problem is you know how long it – or 20-plus air yard attempts. It takes some time for those to unfold. And I think Joey Bosa, who has the number two pressures in the entire NFL – from a defensive standpoint, that's going to be tough. And then that guy Melvin Ingram on the other side, that's going to be tough.
You could see this in the preseason. Obviously, this defense was going to be nasty, and you just imagine. I know everybody has their injuries, but again, what if Verrett had been a part of that secondary? It's even scarier there. But are there numbers that indicate that once you lose a key player, that you might be able to survive that for a little while. They lose Eric Berry in that shocking victory to start the season up in Foxborough, and they still survive and they're winning games and everybody declares them the Super Bowl favorite and so on. But have we seen as the season wears on that they're missing Eric Berry or rather that OCs around the league have figured out here's how to take advantage of that absence as the season wears on?
So Eric Berry, kind of the first thing you think of when you lose Eric Berry because he's a safety is you're like, oh, pass defense, right? And you're right. Their pass defense is near the bottom of the league, if not the bottom of the league, depending on how you're looking at the metrics. But the other sneaky thing that he's kind of helped kind of him missing has really influenced is every single of those rushes of 4+. So they lead the league. The Chiefs lead the league in allowing, so leading meaning bad in this case, the most 4+ yards, rushing yards as well. So 4+ rushes is like a metric of success. You run for four, you're staying, you know, ahead of the downs. So in that case, they're also really faltering there too. So Eric Berry, two ways where he has made a huge difference, he's not there.
This is something that we brought up at the start of the season when we were trying to handicap. I mean, at the start of the season, we talked about this being perhaps the best division in the NFL, and now it's turned into one where who wants to win it? I mean, the Chiefs are trying to give it away. The Chargers tried to give it away at the start of the season. The Raiders have come unraveled, but it almost seems like all the projections we made at the start of the year are now starting to come to fruition, right? We mentioned there's no way the Broncos can win because they have the fourth best quarterback, and I don't know if it was you, but somebody joked fifth with Pat Mahomes in Kansas City. So that they're now out. We mentioned that the Raiders won way too many close games for that not to regress to the mean, and how bad that secondary
was. Shout out
to
Patrick Claibon. He said he went bold and said that team's not going to the playoffs, and we laughed.
So that's come to fruition. With the Chiefs, we said this defense is old, and man, when you have that much athleticism on defense, it's not like they were big bodies, but those were athletes in Houston and Ali and Derek Johnson flying around out there, and you saw it. They've broken down all season long, so it's not just the loss of Eric Berry. It's the loss of Eric Berry that helped cover up some of that age and some of that loss of a step on the defensive front. And I think it's just been exposed with his loss. They can't find they signed Darrell Revis. I mean, they can't find a corner to play opposite Marcus Peters. And you have to have, you know, you mentioned Verrett and what a loss that was, because having Casey Hayward, who is the perfect complement to Verrett. Verrett is playing press. He is nasty when he gets his hands on you. Hayward on the opposite side is so good at reading angles, at redirecting, at jumping routes, at playing that perfect bit of zone D, that was a big hit for them, but they overcame it because Trevor Williams has played pretty well, and they got a hell of a nickel in Desmond King in the fifth round. I mean, he's been one of the best rookie defenders out there. The Chiefs haven't been able to overcome it. They've been trying to plug those holes, and it just hasn't happened. So it was kind of just a matter of time before maybe that defense started feeling its age, and that's kind of what it felt like. Even in that win over the Jets, I mean, Josh McCown was still throwing the ball all over that defense because they couldn't get pressure on him and the secondary couldn't hold up.
The other thing that is strange is, why do you suppose they've reduced, what's Andy Reid's thinking of? I don't want to go too deep on this. I think money has said it all, but why have they just gone away from Kareem Hunt? It's not that his production has gone down, but they're also giving him much fewer opportunities as the season wears on. What gives there, Cindy Freeland?
The thing I've noticed is that it's not so much that they've gone away from him necessarily. It's that they're needing deep passes.
Situational. Right.
And they've doubled their deep passes in the past two games since Matt Nagy took over play calling. So then for me, it's more about what do they need? And Tyreek Hill is a difference maker. And so like, let's just do that.
Yeah.
Let's just go with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the.
By the way, another reminder: football season is long. Everybody, remember when Kareem Hunt was the greatest rookie running back in history?
The play we're looking at right now, that was at the end of the game. So Phillip Rivers throws three picks in the first half. Right, it is going horribly. They're 0-2. They're coming off a game in which Younghoe Koo missed a 40-yard field goal that would have made them 1-1 against the Dolphins. You could tell it was just an emotional letdown. Yet that defense was so having their way with the Chiefs. Melvin Ingram, I think, had three sacks in that game. Bosa had one. Chris McCain had one. It was a 7-point game with 5 minutes left in the fourth. That was a third down run. Had they held them there, they would have punted it back to the Chargers. I mean, That's how dominant this defense was against that offense. And it was early in the year when they really had things humming. So you wonder if that can hold in this one, and how much better this offense for the Chargers.
I say one of the great truths in pro football, the Chargers have now been deemed the team no one wants to play come
right.
January. Everybody keeps talking about that. But legitimately, the other one for who fits that is the Jaguars. And the reason for it with both those teams is both those teams are now kind of setting up to maybe be on the road if they their paths to, you know, it's not crazy that the Jags could find their way into one of those two byes, as a matter of fact. You know, it's not, even if the Patriots beat the Steelers.
Jags went out, Pats beat the Steelers, the Jags get it, right?
Because they get
the tiebreaker.
It. And while the Steelers are two games up,
oh, they are, okay.
The Jags, but still, the Patriots could fall back. Enough. They still play the Bills at home, you know. So
yeah.
If you buy trends, yes, it's easy to say, wow, the Patriots, they'll figure it out. But, you know, if they regress, they lose to the Steelers here, you know, they're not
even home game in the wild card round, you still feel pretty good about the Chargers or the
right. Well, the point is, if you're in the home, if you're in the home crowd for a playoff game, you sense your team's mortality, and so does the team on the sideline. And if you have a defense come in there with a devil may care attitude, we're a road team, and you start smothering the home offense, that it
works against them.
The energy in the joint starts getting real scared, and Buggy Brooks has talked about that a lot. A guy who was on the Jaguars when they went a mile high and beat John Elway's mighty Broncos team in 97, was that 96?
Sounds about right.
I think it was 90. Anyway, either way, he said that you feel that energy starting to go against the home team, and it starts to work in your favor. I could see that for both the Chargers and for the Jags, the way they can rush the passer. All right, next game, it's the Rams. It's the Seahawks. Let's go with you here, Matt Money Smith. A big one, another big one, big game Sunday or weekend, whatever. Big game.
It's on Sunday.
Week 15.
This one's on Sunday.
Rams, Seahawks. Choose.
I think I'm splitting the game theory in the Sheck podcast here. Can I change my vote at this point, or is it too late? Am I in? I can change it.
You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to go Seahawks.
Throw it, Cindy. Be brave.
I know. I had Rams on the sheet, but I'm going to go Seahawks. Yeah, I changed it in the last. I had an epiphany.
Such a meek throwing motion there, Cindy.
She's kind.
I mean, I don't like to throw. I like
after the gut shot that Hank gave me last week.
Go ahead, Cindy. The rules state that if you throw the flag, you have to explain yourself. Why are you taking the road team here?
I'm taking the road team due to Todd Gurley. As of the moment we are recording this podcast, Bobby Wagner is a game time decision, which means we won't know till Sunday, which means if he's not playing, Todd Gurley could go off and have an even bigger day than that guy Lev Bell that you love so much. I know you love him. And I love him too, but Michigan State's finest. So Todd Gurley without Bobby.
I love Todd Gurley too. I declared in his sophomore season he was going to be the running back of the generation.
Well, I love Bulldogs, and he's a Georgia Bulldog. So there, I love him too, I guess, right?
I go, it's what I do. Well, I think he's.
I liked his commercial for Carl's Jr. where he ate the virtual.
The animated.
Because
burger.
He's a vegetarian.
Go back and watch that commercial when he
That's
bites
funny.
At everybody. That's
funny.
It's CGI'd in there. The best use of CGI ever.
Nope. Tupac.
No?
Anyways, Tupac's the best use of CGI ever.
I think that's a hologram, right?
I think it's the same thing, though.
Is it?
I don't know.
Maybe you're right.
Whatever. Who knows? But the difference is when they were facing the Jags last week, Bobby Wagner left in the third quarter. Prior to that, 3 points given up. When Bobby Wagner leaves the game, next two plays, two touchdowns to Blake Bortles.
Powerful stuff. I do think that teams you always hear that. I don't know. You're in the locker room, Money. You talk with these guys. I obviously speak with no strangers to these guys. But it's a lot of the stuff you hear on TV and stuff that matters. They know. They've been there. They know what it takes kind of stuff. Give me the talent. I'll take the youth and the speed and the athleticism over veteran savvy. Give me that, you know, because I do think that wins out.
Oh, I hear you. I'll take that as well. It is funny, though, like some guys have a way with locker room.
But guys who've done
right?
it for a decade will lean on like, well, you know why I'm taking the Seahawks here? Like, you play football. You don't have any insight beyond that. But there must be some merit to that the Seahawks know what's at stake here and therefore will rise up in front of the home crowd.
I think what you know, what I look at is I just – and I feel bad doing it because he's had such a great year. And there's no reason to doubt Jared Goff. There really isn't. I mean, he lost – yeah, Sammy – he's tried to work Sammy Watkins in. That hasn't really worked. Hasn't affected him. Lost Robert Woods, who was his leading receiver for a few games. Doesn't matter. Cooper Kupp's got 100-plus yards and a touchdown in each of those games. He incorporates Josh Reynolds. Obviously, a big part of that is the play calling of Sean McVay. But I just – I have that Minnesota game in my head, and I can't
I'm
shake
with
it.
You too. It's not
I just
fair,
can't
I guess,
shake
but-
it.
I'm with you 100%. You know? I think that's the difference in the game.
Look, that Minnesota game in my head, when I remember everything that happened in that, the O-line won't get duped like that from many different directions. The Minnesota game, the defense brought multiple pressure from different sides. I don't think that Seattle's going to be able to – they're just so depleted. They're not going to be able to create that multiple pressures from different fronts like we saw in Minnesota.
You're absolutely right because Minnesota's – been arguably the best defense all season long, and the Seahawks have not. I mean, they have been
wrecked
by injuries, exactly.
Right, so.
However, I guess, you know, maybe the equalizer there is, and I don't know how you determine that it's a mild sprain versus a serious sprain, but, I mean, you've got two tackles that have MCLs, you know, and Havenstein and Whitworth that are coming into this game having left the last game, and you saw what happened to that offensive line without them. I mean, you
but
got guards playing tackle, and it was just a big mess.
I mean, you got Michael Bennett, but, like, who else? Like, where else are we getting it from? You know what I mean? Like, compared to what were you – what like, because you think of Cliff Avery, not there. You think of – you know, like, you think
Frank
of all
the
these,
Tank.
Right. I mean, that one's good.
I mean, again, I just – it's trying to get my head around Jared Goff performing – in that atmosphere, you know, and you're right, you know, but at the same time, defensively, the Rams, you know, it's a much better defense, but it's still a defense that's been victimized, that is vulnerable against the run. And even though the Seahawks don't, I mean, they got Mike Davis running the ball now, it's just been really bad against the run. So I have this vision.
It is marvelous stuff that Russell Wilson's been doing.
Yeah.
Russ.
Real quick here, let's quick pick a couple of meaningful games. Let's go with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers versus Cam Newton and the Panthers. And as a side note, I'll be interested in your expert fantasy opinions. Do I go Cam Newton or do I go Aaron Rodgers in my other fantasy league? Which guy do you start? I have them both.
I pick the Packers to win this game. I always start Aaron Rodgers. I am anything that guy does. I
Aaron Rodgers against the Panthers versus Cam Newton against the Pack at home.
100%.
Really? Okay.
Luke Kuechly is going to make it harder for Green Bay to run. A lot harder for Green Bay to run. Both teams are vulnerable to both defenses are vulnerable to the pass. I trust Aaron Rodgers' ability to not turn the ball over. Way more than I trust Cam Newton's ability.
I think the Panthers are good.
Over.
And I'm gonna. I think they're.
I didn't think they were not good. I didn't say who would win. I just
we'll
said.
Pick the game.
Okay. Well, I'm picking the Panthers.
All right. I take the Packers.
All right. I'll take the Panthers there. We'll get to the Patriots in just a second here.
Oh,
Cowboys, Raiders, America's team versus what is perhaps the most popular team in America perennially. Matt Money Smith.
I go Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah, I watched that game. I was, you know, we had the afternoon game against the Redskins, and the Raiders were in Kansas City playing the morning game. So we were watching that one in the booth. Obviously, a lot of interest there. And man, I hate saying it, but it almost looked like a team quit. I mean, when they were down 16-0, it just you saw guys turning down tackles on that defense. It's a super emotional team, and things have gone wrong all season long. I think Marshawn Lynch, who was supposed to galvanize that team, has been a bit of a divisive force a little bit, helping Marcus Peters up, walking what's-his-name off the field, Aqib Talib, when he got into a fight with Michael Crabtree, and he escorts Talib off the field. Like,
interesting.
And he's got that documentary going on that's in the locker room all the time. I feel like something's not right with that team, and they're just as good as done with this thing.
Completely agree with you. And for the guy who was considered coming into the draft the most polished wide receiver we've seen in a decade – Amari Cooper, injuries aside, talk about quitting, the drops, and everything
else. They're not a catch a ball.
And that's a hard thing if he's supposed to be your number one to be the quarterback, looking up and seeing him and be like, I don't know if I trusted him. And while you're standing there with large human beings bearing down on you, like, yeah, I better check down here. Like that's not a great spot for Derek Carr to be in. Who you taking there, Sydney?
Cowboys.
You're taking the Cowboys.
Sean
four,
Lee. Sean
4v4. That's Sean Lee. A rare matchup of two quarterbacks wearing the number 4.
Ah.
I like that you pointed that out.
stick that in your
statal
number
thingy.
Calculator.
Stick that in your computer.
Do whatever you want
to formulate it.
I'll take the Raiders. I don't know. I said the Cowboys wouldn't get to double-digit wins this year, and I'll stand by that. All right. Let's get to it then.
They can still win this one and still not get to double-digit wins, FYI. They'd have to win out the rest to get to double-digit wins. So you can
not if the Raiders, not if the Cowboys lose this one, they can't.
Then they're done.
Then they can't get to double digits.
Wait, you said that they can't.
They will not.
He said
and
they
if
won't
they
get
lose and are 7-7.
Coming off 13-3, he says no 10-win season for the Cowboys.
That's right.
Right, so all you have to do is not win one more. There's three games left, so it doesn't have to be this one, though. You could still pick the Cowboys this week.
I could, but I'm just throwing that in. I'm just self-validating again.
Got it.
I don't know if you heard. No one throws me a parade, so I have to do. I have to
I
do the undignified thing and pat myself on the back
parade.
Whenever I get an opportunity. When I get my parade, then I'll stop. Let's get to it now. Let's get serious.
Let's
no more
down.
I don't like jive.
To
you know?
Business.
The New England Patriots.
Mm. Yep.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Heard of them.
Mad Money Smith. Choose.
Pats.
I'm going to have to drop it. Yeah. Listen, I mean, I love it.
Go ahead, take it.
Oh,
I love the
what?
Well, he's got 13-3, Cynthia.
Oh, yeah, he's picking his own parade over his team.
Until I see.
I'm taking back your homer status.
Until I see the Steelers vanquish Tom Brady, why would I take the Steelers except
10-2.
He never gets intercepted. They don't do. I mean, you know, listen, my hope was in the AFC title game a year ago that you would see a different scheme thrown at TB. Instead, it looked exactly like every other matchup did, which is to say Tom Brady standing back in the pocket comfortably, deciding who he wanted to have some glory, and throwing it in that guy's direction with very little, if any, resistance. Now, Ryan Shazier has told us, as have several other Steelers over the past year, have said, had 26, not gotten hurt very early in that game, it would have been very different. And the fact that, you know, I talked to Willie McGinnis about it the other day, and in fact, we're going to talk about it some more coming up.
Willie Mack, that's what.
Willie
that's
Mack.
What
I mean, I don't think it's great. You know, what is Belichick going to want to do? Stop 26, more than 84. We know that that's what he wants to do, is that you know, that's what Belichick's known for, takes away the most dangerous weapon. But, of course, if you watch the Ravens, who are strong defensively, even without Jimmy Smith out there, wanting to do something is different than being able to actually do it. And the idea that they want to take 26 away is not as simple as just loading it up and trying to stop him, because you watch the Steelers early in the game against the Ravens, there were a couple of moments there where they go with a single wideout in the person of number 84, and they put Lewis Nix in there and Le'Veon Bell dotting the I back there. And just that formation alone with a couple of tight ends in there, what do you want to do, defense? What do you want to do? You want to double? You want to keep that safety up there high to take away 84? All right, then you're going to stop 26 here? Then 26 is going to gash you, and then as soon as you bring that safety up, as soon as Weddle is hovering up there, then we're gonna throw it to 84 here. That, and by the way, Vance McDonald questionable for this one, but Jesse James and Vance McDonald,
well, and
that's the extra
Schuster
factor.
Back.
Right.
You just run 13 personnel, get the three tight
All
ends,
that being
and go.
Said, I don't see a way that the Steelers can win the game unless they do it in a shootout. I mean, I think it's got to be like, you know, 34-31.
I'm with you.
I think it's got to be a high-scoring game.
If the Steelers are to win it, I don't know what else you would – they're not going to dominate Tom Brady so thoroughly. They just do not over the course of the last – forget 15 years. Let's talk about just the last 5 years. They've shown no ability – to have the personnel for whatever reason, whereas the Ravens and Seahawks and the Dolphins and anybody else, I suppose it comes down to can you apply pressure with just four? That's really what I got. The Bills give them trouble. The Dolphins give them trouble. The Seahawks do. The Broncos have. Why? Because those guys can get pressure on TB without having to blitz somebody. If they can do that, then I guess the pieces seem to be there for.
Well,
the
also
Steelers,
you don't have that shutdown. You don't have a shutdown corner. Your corners are where you're vulnerable.
Well, Joe Hayden, if he's back and is getting close,
is he 100%? Even if he's back, is it like 100% Joe Hayden or is it like 60% Joe Hayden?
Well, look at the math. Sean Davis takes Gronk, right?
No. I mean 60%, like how healthy he is. Like even if he's back, Like, it's not, I'm not saying you're getting like,
yeah, I don't
pristine,
know about
the Ferraris coming out of the thing, whatever that stupid analogy is, but like, you're getting like, probably he's coming back to try to like make a difference, but he's maybe not be 100% healthy.
Listen, I mean, the effect that the Patriots have on those who they vanquished numerous times, and the Steelers are that. I don't care what anybody says. They're human beings. Surely they have a sense going into this one from seven on down that we got to be mistake-free. And once you start thinking, we got to be mistake-free, then you start making mistakes. When you try to be perfect, you cease to be perfect. I just thought, you know, if you do the, again, if you do the math, the Steelers are frightening. Who are you? I could see Jesse James or Juju Smith-Schuster, Martavis Bryant, or one of those guys, or Eli Rogers even. One of those guys has to step up and make plays. And when they're given the opportunity, it can't go through their hands. The other side of it is pick your poison against the Patriots. I mean, it just it seems destined to be a shootout. And the one thing I will say is the reason the Steelers could maybe at least keep up with them in a shootout is one of the more underreported things over the last month is Seven is dealing. I mean, he is
coming off a 500-yard game.
I don't feel like – I feel like the narrative got out, you know, oh, he might retire all offseason, had the rough stretch there. Maybe this guy doesn't have it anymore, himself saying that kind of stuff. But Antonio Brown's been great, but Seven, I'm telling you, is dealing. He is in the zone. Let's see if he can continue to play at this level, which is, you know – it's up there. I mean, it's there are three or four other human beings that can make the throws Seven's been making over the last month.
You have certainly covered it all between the two of you. So I will just add this.
The two of you. I will flap my gums with Cindy.
It's okay. I will just add this. And I'll plant this seed. What if Tom Brady has a bad game? What if he has his third consecutive game where he's missing wide open throws?
I'm with you, man.
Do we now start the, hey, man, 40's old. It's a 16.
Oh, God, no.
I'm saying 16 is a lot of
hey,
games.
Hey, Cindy, guess what? That's the way it is. That's life.
It's what we saw with Peyton Manning. MVP one year, the very next year, boo!
6,000
who is picks. This guy?
It doesn't have to happen in the offseason
no,
either.
It can happen in the middle of
the season.
We talk
about it all the time.
It happens like
when
that.
It goes.
It does. It goes
there is
immediately.
No, there is no – there. I mean, I'm sure maybe somebody could volunteer a couple of names for me, but generally speaking, anecdotally at least for to my eyes, long time watching football. Great.
Gone.
Monday.
Gone. And
it is not a gentle decline. Wow, he seems a little off lately, right? No. It one day good, next day bad. That's how it goes even for the legends, and he's 40 years old. I don't know.
That's what I'm asking. If he has a third,
I'm inclined
he was
to say
missing
no.
wide open receivers in that game against the Miami Dolphins. He was bad against the Bills.
He doesn't like when guys are – he doesn't like that Ndamukong Suh effect.
No.
You know? If
I'm just saying if it's a third game and the Steelers allowed the Ravens to throw it all over the place and run all over them and Brady's missing receivers and
they get them once early. The thing with the Steelers is that pass rush, like most, heats up as the game goes along. If they can apply
that's all
some
I'm
pressure
asking.
To
if,
them
if
early.
If we're back here next week, are we talking if this is a third bad game and the Steelers run over them and Brady's screaming
I'm not
and yelling
be
at people?
I'm not talking about that. I'm going to be talking about who, you know. Getting out there for the divisional round.
You're going to be talking about laying down against the Browns so the team can go 13-3 because you already got home field wrapped up. That's what you're talking about.
Great stuff, Matt Money Smith. Check him out all over the place, primarily.
Thank you, sir.
Game Theory and Money and his own podcast, Petros and Money, available on iHeartRadio, all the TV stuff. And with the Los Angeles Chargers, he's an Arrowhead. He's going to be smelling that smoke. Well, I didn't suggest playing the music, though, man. I mean, you know.
I don't mind. I just, you know.
All right, we're going
to
leave.
It's fun watching you try to catch up to the poster.
Smoky barbecue flavors. Will you stop at a tailgate on your way in?
No, because I get there early with the team on the bus. Yeah. So
go back outside.
Yeah, I might.
I very well might.
It's my favorite tailgate in the NFL. I think it's the best tailgate in the National Football League.
I've never experienced it.
It is fantastic.
Perhaps one day I shall. Cindy Freeland, check her out on Game Theory and Money, Game Day Morning, Thursday Night Football, this, that, and the other. Like I say, download the podcast at iTunes and or NFL.com/podcast Game Theory and Money. Professor behind the glass, spaghetti, nice job. You were very quiet today.
Very, very quiet.
What do you have to talk about?
I don't
nothing,
much.
Really.
I was locked in with you guys.
Spaghetti.
Locked in.
Favorite Pearl Jam song. Go.
release off of 10.
That's the highlight of the podcast. I wish there was a camera on him. Oh, that was my favorite thing of the day.
Why did you enjoy that one
just
so much?
Just the way he goes, oh, release off of 10. Release. And it's just, oh, man, I'm not a Pearl Jam fan. So just the idea that
you don't like Pearl Jam. Why not?
Let me tell you, man, like release.
Why don't you like Pearl Jam?
Even so.
I don't know. I'm a jerk, I guess. I don't know why.
You're allowed to not like them.
It doesn't do it for me, man.
Spaghetti.
Better,
really
better seats for me at the show.
Release off of 10.
I love it.
A lot of hardcore fans I've noticed don't like Pearl Jam for some reason. Why is that? Because you vibe more. You thought that Nirvana, even the people frown on Nirvana.
You know what? I think it's probably just, you know, for me, I was the cycle right before that. So, I was Minor Threat.
On the shoulders of everybody.
Black Flag, Naked Ray Gun, Descendants, that whole wave right before grunge came in and became super popular. So, yeah, I tend to not like any of those guys.
Take that, Spaghetti.
I'm actually, like, surprised Spaghetti likes Pearl Jam so much just because he's, like I'm prime Pearl Jam age.
Right, he's a little bit younger.
He's younger than me. So, we talk about it. And, like, it's just, I'm always like, wow, he really, like he's an old soul. A little older than me. He's an old millennial soul.
I'm such a square.
Release Me is the one, like, at the end where he's like, oh,
how's it go?
That's like literally every song.
How's it go?
I will not sing that.
Come on. Don't be a jerk.
No,
sing.
I see the
world. No, that's
No, she's right.
That's it.
No, wait.
What is it?
No, that's the old lady.
That was
Elderly Woman behind the counter. I seem to recognize.
That's Elderly Woman. No, I said, I see the world.
Oh, okay.
That's your favorite song by Pearl Jam?
Oh, without a doubt.
Without
a
doubt.
What my favorite is? Go.
Go's awesome.
Now that I think about it.
I can do this all day.
Go's awesome.
Go or Jeter?
Pearl Jam over sports.
Porzingis over 10.
Whoa.
10.
10, you take
10.
One is going to be removed from your life forever.
I've seen the Knicks stink for almost every year of my life. So
yeah, but now you got Porzingis.
No, I'm
unicorn.
It still won't matter with LeBron in the league, so or the Warriors. So yeah, 10. 10 it is.
Jeter or Pearl Jam forever.
Pearl Jam.
Whoa, take that, two.
Man,
you're in position number 2, according to Eddie Spaghetti. We learned something very special.
Do they still make music?
Yeah.
Is it terrible?
No, they're like on tour. They're like on tour in Europe.
They're like the Grateful Dead. They're people like they log the playlist.
So
they're
kind of like Springsteen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is kind of what it is. Yeah. It's all dudes, right? It's all white dudes that are rolling.
Like 40.
There's a lot of females.
There are?
But yeah.
I just envision it. I envision it's like a Springsteen show, but 20 years younger.
It's a little bit
younger. It's like 40 to 55.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. Like, it's like. I would say when you go to a Pearl Jam concert, it's like 32 to 42.
So 10.
Yeah, I would say
Spaghetti.
Like Cynthia would be young. I'm like super, super young.
He's like super young for it.
Yeah.
Spaghetti, you like Soundgarden and Nirvana and Alice in Chains.
Like
and Pearl Jam, you like all that.
Do you like
all
Pearl,
grunge
though?
Music, all the entire genre of grunge music, or the New York Rangers? One is removed.
Whoa.
Oh, that's tough. Those are my two favorite. I still got to go music.
Really?
I'm a big music guy. But the Rangers.
Take that, Eddie Mio.
The Rangers are as close as you can get.
We got to tune up your taste then if you're a big music guy. All right, pal.
Okay.
All right.
I'm happy to talk music anytime.
All right. I'm going to go talk about other stuff
release.
Right now.
10.
Great time as always.
That's the highlight of the podcast.
Shane Leave. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. Do it for football America. It's enough with this Patriots evil empire. Take them down for the good of all football fans. Let's do it, black and gold. We'll be back next week. One way or the other. Win or lose. I was going to say draw. Could be a draw.
Could be.
And that would be fine because then the Steelers would have the half-game lead on them. Either way, we'll talk to you next week. It's been a thin slice of heaven.